All right, welcome everybody to Hebrew Club, where we are in the middle of 1 Samuel chapter 9, and we're ready to start with verse 11. If you will recall, Saul and his servant are trying to figure out what to do about the lost asses, and the servant told Saul about a seer, a prophet, who's in the city where they are. And so they've decided to go there. You know, the servant has some money at least to give to the prophet. So that's where we are. Saul decided that his word is good. So we're going to pick it up right at verse 11. And right away I want you to notice that, well, let me read at least first part of it, and then you'll see, again, another characteristic of the author's style here. Hema olim b'ma'ale ha'ir. They were going up from Olim. They were going up on the slope of the city. Okay, ma'ale, or ascent is probably a better word. Ascent of the city. Notice you have the participle Olim from Allah. All right, and in English you'd probably say they were going up the ascent to the city. All right. Now notice the next phrase. Vehema matsu ne'arot yotzot lishov maim. And they found young women, the yotzot, going out, again from yatzah, lishov, to draw water. That's the word that when you want to take something from a well, you sha'av it, you draw it out. Okay, but notice what you don't have in this verse that you would expect to have. What don't you have? That's kind of a weird question, I know. Very common, right? Notice that you might expect to have kind of a vayahi, something started with a vav consecutive, and you don't have it. And we'll see throughout this section that when the author wants to place one action within another, this is the style. So notice you would translate it something like this. While they were going up the ascent to the city, comma, they found young women. Right? So you see that the action of finding the women happened in the parentheses of this bigger action of going up to the city. When two actions are placed this way, this author tends to have this kind of construction. We'll see it throughout these verses that immediately follow. Okay, does everybody understand what I'm saying? So notice verse 11 starts with the pronoun hema, and then you have another vehema. All right, you don't have to do it that way. You could start out with a vayahi, then a temporal, like an infinitive construct, with a preposition. It came to pass when or while they were doing something, comma, this happened. But here's a little different. All right. Right in the middle of verse 11 then, Vayomru, and they said lahen to them, Hayesh bazeh haroeh. Notice the interrogative hey is in zeh, in this. And in English we'd say, is here the roeh, the seer. And now all of a sudden here's the first time that they call the prophet a seer, but we've already been expecting it because of that parenthesis. Remember we had a couple verses back that the prophets, the Navis, in this day and age, we're always called Roez. And so you'll see that Samuel is referred to as a Roeh in this section as well. All right? Any questions about any of the grammar or syntax of verse 11? All right. Verse 12. Vata'anena otam. And they answered them. Notice that that's a third feminine plural. You don't see too many of those. All right? Third feminine plural from the root what? What root is that? From Anna, all right? So they answered them, by Yomarna, and they said, again, third feminine plural, and they said, Yesh, hine lefaneka. Here, in English, the Yesh, I would probably just translate it as, yes, look, he is before you. Okay, lefaneka. Then, maher, okay, is the next verb. Notice that that's a PL imperative. Hasten. All right. Hasten ata now, ki hayom ba la'ir. For today, he has come to the city. Ki zevach hayom. For there is a sacrifice, Hayom, today, La'am, for the people, Ba'bama, at the Bama, at the high place. All right. Now notice here, I got a picture for you. Here is a picture of the high place at Dan. So there's no telling whether this is anything like it or not, but at least it gives you some idea. And you can pass that around. And then the second page is an artist's reconstruction of what the Bama, a later one, might look like. And then below it is a round altar, and it mentions 1 Samuel 9 as being a reference to what the altar may have looked like. The difference between a Bama and a temple, I read a little bit about this today, it's kind of interesting. The temple, the emphasis is on the building as the place where, if you're a pagan worshiper, God is. The Bama, the main emphasis is on the altar. At a Bama site, again, according to this one source, there is the altar, and then also a building where the cult objects are stored, you know, kind of like a shed, but it's also a building where people will eat the sacrificial meal. And you will see reference to such a building a few verses on in this text. Okay? So, that's where they went. Okay, now verse 13. Kevoa kem ha'ir kain tim zetun oto b'terem ya'ale ha'bamata lekol ki lo yokal ha'am ad bo'o. Okay. Kevo kem. Everybody look at that. There's three parts to that. First of all, the root bo, it's an infinitive construct, plus the preposition ke, plus the suffix, second masculine plural. So you would translate like this, as soon as you come, less literally, as you're coming. See? Mm. So as soon as you come to Ha'ir, the city, Cain, thus Timsetun, you will find him. Okay, Beterem Ya'ala, before he goes up Habamata, before he goes up to the Bama, to the high place. Notice there's a locative hay there. Le'ekol, in order to eat. Notice the infinitive construct. Here it indicates purpose. Before we have seen them as temporal, you write in the previous clause. In order to eat. Okay? Ki, for not yokal ha'am. For not will the people eat ad bo'o. Until he comes. Here's an infinitive construct with the suffix. Until his coming. Until he comes. Ki hu yevarei kazeva. For he yevarei. For he must bless hazeva, the sacrifice. Okay, notice the pause with the zakev. Acharei kein, after this, yoklu. They can eat. And the subject follows ha-keruim. Everybody see that keruim? It's a call, passive, participle, masculine, plural from kara. And notice the hay in front of it so that the substantive characteristics of the participle come to the foreground. Those who are invited, we would just simply call them the guests. After this, the guests will eat. Pause. Vata, so now, alu, call imperative, go up, kioto, for him, tehayom. Notice that you have the kaf plus hayom. This is usually translated as now, kehayom. Most often, the hay has been assimilated, so you just see kayom, but here the hay is unassimilated. Okay? Go up, for him now, you will find him. Notice the him is repeated twice, and it sounds awkward. Some translations seem to interpret the two as kind of an emphasis, so they would translate something like this, for you will find him right away. Okay. In English, though, that second oto does seem redundant, so what its function is... you know, what it's conveying here is kind of hard for us to say. Okay, any questions up through 13 on any of the forms or anything? Okay. Okay, verse 14. Vaya'alu ha'ir. So they went up to the city. Now notice the Masoretes help you read here. They put the atnak right there. Usually the Atnak is in the middle of the verse, but here it's right here, because you're going to change. You're going to do a shift kind of in perspective. So they went up to the city. Now notice the same construction. Hema ba'im betok ha'ir. Okay? So right away from previous reading, you kind of know how to translate that. As they were going into the city. See? Vehine, Shemuel Yotze, as they were going into the city. Now again, Hine indicates maybe something surprising or unexpected. You might want to translate it like this. As they were going into the city, they could see Samuel Yotze coming out Likratam, coming out towards them. Right, coming out towards them. La'alot, to go up. Notice the call, infinitive construct from Allah, to go up Habama, to the high place. Remember in the previous section we had Halak is the key word. Now Allah seems to be a prominent word. They're going up, up, up. Yes, question.
I thought that would be Torah. Isn't that to call?
Which one? Oh, yes. This is infinitive construct kara. Remember there's another form, kaf, resh, aleph, kaf, resh, hey. They're biforms. So it means to call, but it also can mean to meet or to encounter. All right. And this construction, you'll see it, sometimes it means opposite them or to meet them or towards them or something like that. So that's how I translate it. But yes, it's from the root kara. Any other questions on 14? Verse 15.
Wait,
please.
Just a quick question, going back to the Yoto in 13.
Yeah.
What's the apparatus note here on the first Yoto, the key Yoto?
Okay. 13D. In the Septuagint, the Syriac, and the Vulgate, it doesn't seem to be there.
It doesn't be there.
It does
isn't
not.
There.
Right.
Okay.
And it may be just a translation issue, too. How do you translate it?
That's why I was wondering.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, now we in this next paragraph, we go back in time a little bit. It's kind of interesting how it gives you this aside. Samuel wasn't totally unaware of what was happening. Vayahweh gala et oz and Shemuel. Now Yahweh, now notice how I translate this, perfect tense. Now Yahweh had uncovered the ear of Samuel. Okay, now I only know that because of the context, because I'm assuming that this action happened before all the actions we just read took place. That's why I translate it that way. Remember, Hebrew doesn't have a pluperfect tense like Greek or English. Okay. Now Yahweh had uncovered the ear. We would probably say, now Yahweh had revealed to Samuel. Okay. Yom Echad. Okay. One day lifnei, one day before the coming of Saul. What kind of form is this bow? Anybody know? It's from infinitive good, infinitive construct. Okay, and both forms are similar anyway. But yes, it's before the coming of Saul. So, but in English, we would say Yahweh had revealed to Samuel the day before Saul came. See. All right, now here's what he revealed, Lamor, saying, Ka eit macharish lach eleka ish me eretz binyamin. Okay. Kaf plus eight, very often kind of, well, as kaf, you know, usually is used to correlate two items. So notice that what it means here is about this time machar, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Machar is tomorrow. Okay. About this time tomorrow, eshlach, I will send to you a man, May Eretz Binyamin, from the land of Benjamin. U'meshachto. Look at this. U'meshachto. What's the root? Mashach. And what does it mean? Mashiach is the famous word. Messiah. Yes, so here it means to anoint. Second masculine singular plus third masculine singular suffix. That's why it looks a little odd, because you can have Meshach, it could be Meshach Ehu with a hey, or Meshachahu, I'm sorry, Meshachahu. But here you have Meshach To. All right. And you will anoint him, Lenagid, as leader over Ami, my people Israel. Behoshia, and he will save, again the Hiphil from Yasha, and he will save Et Ami, he will save my people Miyad Pelishtim from the hand of the Philistines. Okay? Now notice this next phrase. Ki ra'iti et ami, for I have seen my people. Ki ba'atza akato elai, for his cry, ba'a, notice that this is a call, third feminine singular from Bo, for his cry has come elai to me. This is very similar language to what we saw in Exodus chapter 3, Moses at the burning bush, where Yahweh insists that he has been watching and he knows Israel. And so you have kind of similar language here with Yahweh telling Samuel that he hasn't forgotten his people. Now notice what is presupposed in this little exchange in verse 16 that we never... We only have gotten earlier in Samuel, but not lately. Notice what's presupposed. That Israel is under the oppression of the Philistines. Remember we had that whole incident with the ark? And so evidently the Philistines were dominant in the region. And though it's not really expressed, it's assumed here. All right. And notice that that assumption is probably what's behind Israel's demand for a king. Okay? Good. Any other questions on verse 16? Alright, verse 17. Ushemuel ra'a el Sha'ul. Now Samuel had seen Sha'ul, Saul. Okay? Or just let's just translate this right now. Now Samuel saw Saul. Va Yahweh Anahu and Yahweh. Now notice the root of this is Anah, to answer. Alright? But here the meaning is not so much answer, but told him. So this is a third masculine singular suffix on Anna. And Yahweh told him. Okay? So how do you put these two clauses together? They both have a vav plus a noun. And Samuel saw Saul, and Yahweh told him.
It's a response or anything?
It usually is.
So it's basically it's reacting then to the scene rather than as it would normally react to a question?
It seems to be acting to the situation, yeah. It's there's no question or statement that Samuel made to God, so it's kind of a general so I don't know if answered him is the best translation here.
But it's still a response to what
it seems
saw,
to be, yeah.
He has seen.
Yeah, could be, yeah. I mean, if you think... Yeah,
at least think of it as being a response to a question.
Yeah.
If it's an actual response to
a
action.
Or a vision, yeah, something you saw. I mean, that could be, yeah. Okay, but you have the two vavs. Notice that you have to understand that the first one is probably temporal, see? In English we would say, we would make it more subordinate. When Samuel saw Saul... Yahweh answered him, Hine, look, Haish, look, the man whom, Amarti, Eleka, whom I spoke to you. You know, so that's a relative clause, about whom I spoke to you. Zeh, this one, Yatzor. Usually Yatzor means to hold back or to restrain. He will restrain, my people. Most translations, jump one step forward and say, he will rule over my people. Alright, so this is the guy Yahweh pointed out to him. Okay, questions through 17? Alright, verse 18. Vayiga Sha'ul et Shemuel. And Saul drew near from Nagash, drew near to Samuel, Batok HaSha'ar, in the middle of the gate. Vayomer, and he said, Hagidana, notice that that's from Nagad, please tell me, Azeth, okay, we would say where in the world is the house of the Roeh, where is the house of the seer, alright, so Samuel drew near in the midst of the gate, and he said, please tell me. Notice the na, a particle of politeness. Azeth, A is where, and then Zeth kind of goes with it, maybe strengthening the question a little more. Where is the house of the prophet, of the seer? Okay. Vayaan, what's the root? Anah, very good. Shemuel answered et Shaul, Saul, Vayomer, and said, Anoki haroeh, I am the seer. Ale lefanai, go up before me, habama, to the bama, va'akaltem, and eat with me. Okay, notice you have an imperative followed by a vav plus perfect. Strings of imperatives can occur like this, and notice there's a little separation in time before the command to come with me and eat. And so you have this form very often following imperative. Okay? And eat with me hayom, today. Veshalach tika, and then I will send you baboker in the morning. Send you away in the morning. Vekol asher bil vavaka agid lach. And all which is on your heart, agid, I will tell you. Alright? Questions about verse 19. Okay, good. Verse 20. Vela atonot ha ovdot leka. Okay, now notice this is kind of hanging there. And as for the asses, the ones lost to you. Okay? We would in English say, and as for your lost asses, now notice the next phrase. Hayom shaloshet hayamim. Today, 3 days. Today, 3 days. That's Hebrew way of saying 3 days ago. Okay? 3 days ago. So the whole thing would be, and as for the asses lost to you, extent of time, 3 days ago. Okay, notice there's a cape there. Al tasem, do not, now notice that this is from Seem, do not put your heart, lahem, on them. Or don't put your mind on them. Ki nimza'u, for they have been found. What's the conjugation of nimza'u?
Nifal,
perfect, right. For they have been found. Classically, here it's a passive now. For they have been found. Ule, oh, now this is it. Here's where Saul gets the surprising news. Ule mi, and to whom? Kol chemda. From, you know the word chamad, to desire. And to whom is all the desire of Israel? Halo leka. Is it not leka? Is it not to you? U lekol beit, and to all the house of Avika, and to all the house of your father. Now that's surprising news. Right? We'll do one more verse here. Vayahan Shaul. Then Saul answered Vayomer, and he said, Halo Benyamini Anoki. Am I not a Benjaminite? A son, notice the Ben Yamini. Am I not a Benjamite? Mi katane Shivte Yisrael. You know this, that you have the preposition min plus the simple adjective katan, and it's in construct chain here. Am I not? And remember when you have an adjective like ha katan, it can be a superlative. Notice that this is definite because the whole construct chain is definite. So I would translate it like this. Am I not a Benjaminite from the smallest of the tribes of Israel? Umishpachti, and my family is ha-ze'ira, is the smallest. Za'ir means, is an adjective, means small. Am I not the smallest of all the mishpachot, of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Okay. Velama, so why debarta? Why do you speak to me kadavar hazeh, as this word? Okay. In English we say, why are you talking to me like this? Alright. Good. Any questions through verse 21? Alright. We will start with verse 22 next week, and we'll be able to finish the chapter for sure and then move on.
Very good.
Thanks for listening.